Father, we thank you for your faithfulness to the church. We thank you that Jesus made the promise that the church would be built upon the rock and that not even the gates of hell could withstand her advance as she goes forth conquering and to conquer in union with her King. Father, we thank you that the church in this way is invincible, that your church will go to fill the whole earth. Father, we thank you for this. We thank you for the commission that you've entrusted to us to disciple the nations. We pray that our church would take its part in that, participate in that mission you've given to your people throughout the whole earth. And that, Father, today in our meeting, this would be a little piece of that happening, that today you would further your work in the world, the growing and building of your kingdom, the building up of your people. Father, we pray that all would be done in good order and in a way that glorifies you and that is edifying to the saints. We pray that all channels of communication that need to be open would be open, that we'd be able to talk freely and openly about anything in our church body. And Father, we pray that you would give us unity and harmony. We pray that you would help us to do all things in a way that is fitting of those who have been called to be disciples of Jesus Christ, that our love for one another and our unity together in him would be a sign to the world that we are his people, that he is the world's Savior and King. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right, our first order of business is our diaconate election. And so we've got two candidates that we're voting for today, two deacon candidates, Michael Winstead and Don Steele. In terms of voting procedures, Gilbert, our clerk, has got the ballots that we will begin to pass out. And you can mark those ballots. We'll collect those ballots. After the ballots are collected, we'll dismiss the children to choir with the choir leaders. And then we've got some... let me take one of those. Yeah, we've got just some ministry reports and updates on various things going on in the life of the church that we're going to make. Should not take that long, but should be very informative, I hope. Just remember, the voting is for all communing members in good standing of the church, age 16 and above is how the bylaws have it. The ballots are being passed. Yeah, you can raise your hand for ballots. Mark your ballots, and we'll collect those up. And we should be able to announce during the meeting the results. Parents, one thing I want to do is remind you and encourage you to tell those who are teaching your kids in Sunday school and who have them in choir, just every now and then give them a word of encouragement or a thank you. I think they're doing really good work. I've been really pleased with what I've seen coming out of the Sunday school program this year. We've got, I think, a really good curriculum. Teaching our children through the scriptures, it's just Bible, 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 pounding Bible, and learning the Heidelberg Catechism, which is, I think, probably the best, most pastoral of the reformational catechisms. And it's great to see our kids do that. In the past, we've had the kids come in and do some catechism questions. It'd be good to get back to doing that some. But their singing has been great, too. And Don and Laura Steele actually are not here today, but they've done a great job. And the others who are involved have done a great job as well. And I think it's one of the best things we've got in this church is this. We don't have a big children's ministry kind of program like what a lot of churches try to offer, because we don't necessarily... We want the family to be deeply involved in the discipling and teaching of their children, that kind of thing, and we don't want to supplant that in any kind of way. But we do want to partner with the parents in what we do, and we think this is a great way to do it. We've got a lot of good things that are coming out of it. So I'm excited about that and hope you are as well. What we're going to do now is we've just got several people who give sort of short reports about what's going on in different aspects of the life of the church, ways of sort of keeping you updated, informed. I send out emails, which I know everybody reads completely. Except Jenny. I've caught Jenny a few times when she did not read something in the email. A piece of information went out and she missed it. So we try to keep you informed in a variety of different ways, but this is going to be a way that we can do that as well. We're not going to try to cover every facet of what's going on or anything like that, but these are just some things that are sort of current that we want to bring you up to date on. And what I'm going to do, I'll hand it over to Philip first, and he can talk about what's going on with our building and grounds and so forth.
Okay. I'm going to ask the two that if Jed or if Ryan or Dale has any comments or Dwayne want to speak up as I talk about the things that have been going on, just to feel free to do so. Don't know if you've realized it or not, but this is our six-month anniversary this week in the new building. Hope you're all still in love with it like we were in the beginning. So far, I have not seen anything fall apart or fall down or leak, so that's a good thing. But maybe the deacons took care of that and I didn't know about it. But anyway, we have a lot to be thankful for of having our own building and of being here. It's like the country music song, you know, Don't Blink. 10 years from now, it will pass very quickly, so we'll be celebrating that before you know it. Just a few things to talk about that has changed since we have moved in, just to kind of give you an update. One being the acoustics. As you'll notice, there's a new runner in here this morning, and we hope that you can notice the difference in the sound quality. It'll take a little bit of the reverb out. That's one of the things the acoustics committee, led by Ryan, has been working on. First is the speaker system that has helped tremendously. We also have the carpet on the chancel. We have this runner in, and there's also carpet that's in the back under the musicians. All of these trying to help with the acoustics. There's a few more little things, and we're just kind of adding one at a time to make sure that we get it just right. We don't want to go overboard, but we want to make sure that we can at least talk to one another. The big issue has always been not when it's full, because like this morning, you probably found it was very good. It's when we have small groups like on Wednesday nights, or you're trying to talk after worship. The reverb just kind of interferes with a lot of that. But anyway, that committee is working on that and will continue to. Also, you probably noticed the new sign out front that was just installed here recently. And even more so, you probably noticed the old sign is gone. So Dwayne and Dale have kind of been in charge of that, so we appreciate the work that's gone into that. Gilbert is going to be selling the old one for us, along with the chancel furniture that you'll notice is no longer here. And speaking of chancel furniture, you'll notice we have the table, as most of you know. Seth Weisenecker built that this summer while he was home from Boston, and so we're very grateful to that. And I think the decision has been made. Yeah, it's a really beautiful piece. I think the decision has been made that that will be the only piece of furniture up here, at least for the time being. Any changes to that you know? Nope. So that's what the chancel will look like for some time to come. A couple other things. If you will also notice, I'm sure you have, that the house has been painted since we moved in. And there's only really one person to thank for that, and that's Mark Winstead. He took on the job. And he's not even in here. But Mark did the whole... Yeah, he's at work somewhere. He may be finishing it up. But, Mark did the whole house himself, that I'm aware of, unless Michael, you helped him. Okay. But that is no small feat, so we do owe Mark a great deal of thanks for that. Another issue that had come up once we moved in is a number of parents were afraid that their children were going to try to take wings off of the retaining wall up here and fall. And so thanks to the efforts of Jed and Dwayne and a lot of other folks that joined in, there are now shrubs that are planted along that wall. And they're very prickly leaves, so I think that will be a big part in helping the kids stay away from that, especially as they grow. We talked about a fence, but we thought from an aesthetic standpoint, shrubs would be better, so that's what we ended up going with. So hopefully that takes care of the problem. Just want to constantly remind you, though, shrubs won't keep the kids from walking on the top of the wall. So if you have kids, remind them to constantly stay off the wall. That is a long fall. Something else that we have recently done is we've ordered another 30 chairs. We're actually using them in the Sunday school, which, by the way, we do have 4 Sunday school rooms up in the house now. We're using them up there, we will be using them up there, and they also will complement. They're about the same chairs we have in here. In fact, they're supposed to be the exact same chair. That gives us a total of 250 chairs in the sanctuary. So when we do have a wedding, when we do have overflow crowds for events like that, we do have 250, and that will be the maximum amount of chairs that we can get in here. So if anybody ever asked you, now you know. Talking about Sunday school, just so everyone knows, I mentioned the four classes up there with the choir. There's also, both of these rooms on the side are now nursery. We have a very large nursery. We thought we could use just one, but it's going to take two. And we have two Sunday school rooms in the back, and that's for the twos and threes and the fours and fives in the back there. Talk a little bit about future projects. This is kind of, once we can afford to do, what would we like to do? And let me preface that a little bit, is we are in a phase right now where we're trying to build up finances. When we purchased the building, the session decided we needed a cushion of about $90,000 to $100,000 that we needed to keep in the bank just in case the economy affected us or whatever. We didn't want to get overexposed there. We were slightly under that, so we're working on building that back up. Once that happens, we will be able to begin thinking again about the new things that need to take place with the building. You know, what do we need to accomplish? The building commission is still engaged, although we haven't met in quite a while. But we'll be meeting soon for looking at what is the phase two. I'm sure each one of you have some ideas about what should go into phase two. I have my own. You know, we've got we don't have much of a kitchen back there. Eventually, we need to do something with that. We don't have a playground. Eventually, we need to do something with that. We've got old windows in the back. Eventually, it'd be nice to replace those. So there's a list that's going to be growing. It's from an aesthetic standpoint. I know Ryan and the committee are working on things that how do we improve the aesthetics of the building here? How do we improve the liturgy? And so we're working on a number of things like that, but we're going to have to be patient. Right now, the number one priority is the acoustics. We'll continue working on those till we get that right, or at least the best that we can do with it. So, patience. There's also some planned landscaping that needs to take place, but really we need a land plan before we go any further. In case you don't know, the idea when we purchased the property, redid this building, is this will eventually be a fellowship hall, and assuming we grow that size, it's totally up to God's will. But if He so wills, and we grow to a size where we outgrow this place, then we would build where the house is in that area right there, use this as a fellowship hall. So what we have to make sure that we do is when we're planning, whatever it does, you know, we're doing the landscape, playground, whatever, it has to fit into an overall plan. So we are looking at that and making sure that we don't put a playground where we have to move and that sort of thing. So anyway, some other things we're working on. I would give you one warning, because sometimes surprises are not good. There is a large oak tree, which is at one time was very beautiful up here by the house. It has half of it has died, and the rest of it is very weak. So that will be taken down by the deacons here soon. And I, as a forester, am in agreement with them. So, okay, it's not gonna survive. So we need to go ahead and get it out. So, in case you see a big stump there one day where there once was a nice tree, now you know why. It's no one's fault. It's just that trees, like people, don't live forever. So, anyway, just a heads up on that. And Jed, I would add very quickly. I think, you know, from a diaconal standpoint, I think Rod is over the building maintenance, and Michael has kind of been overseeing the landscape side, the yard. So if you have anything that you really want, now you know who to talk to. But or seriously, you can talk to Jed or any of the diaconate about any issues that you see. We appreciate the comments on the wall, you know, the danger there. If you see other things like that we need to address, feel free to talk to the deacons about that, and they'll be glad to help. Jed, anything? Brian? Okay. Anybody else? All right.
All right. Thank you, Philip. Very good. Any questions about any of those things? Anything you want to bring up right now? Anyone? Are the results in? Should we have a drum roll?
we will have two new deacons. So congratulations, Michael. And since Don's not here to give his acceptance speech, Michael, you get the floor all to yourself. We planned on doing both. I should have mentioned this before we did the vote. We did mention this when we first brought this up, but both of these men have already been ordained deacons. So we will not be doing an ordination service, but an installation service. We recognize those prior ordinations, and so we had talked about doing that next Sunday. We'll finalize that during this week, but that could very well be next Sunday's service. Okay, moving ahead, Ryan, I'll let you, if you have some things you want to talk about related to music or aesthetics or anything else.
Yeah, so we know if you want to contact people, I'm the chair of the music committee. I'm not the musician. Joyce is our church musician, but I do help organizationally. And this is a time where we do more special music. You'll hear more preludes. You'll hear some ensemble soloists in a choir. We don't have a standing choir every week. But if you want, this is a great opportunity. Our standards aren't always high for choirs, so just because you're not a singer doesn't mean if you love music and want to participate, please come out. Let me or Joyce know, and I really encourage, we need singers, so it would be a great opportunity to be part of that. And in next week's bulletin, there will be a list of all the practices for choir, and probably will be sent out an email this week as well. There's a general comment in today's bulletin, and the men's ensemble is practicing today at 2. So again, if let Joyce or me know about if people want to participate in music. We do tend to have more music activities as Advent, Christmas, Epiphany, Lent, and Easter happen, and we kind of take the regular Trinity season or through the summer at a lighter rate. So please let us know. It's a great opportunity, like I said, for people that love music to participate. From an acoustic standpoint, I know some of you have heard in the sound system little buzz and squeal that is being worked on. It's very unusual with the equipment we have, our company is working on that. We're trying to work this fine balance of acoustics. You know, it's nice to have a good reverberant space for choir, and we know that we overshot that good reverberant space. So for the worship service, it's nice to have reverberance. For fellowship and Sunday schools and prayer services, it's nice to have acoustic dead space. So we have two kind of mutually exclusive desires. We're trying to find balance where we can still have a joyous service and we can also it will be comfortable to have a conversation, and you'll be able to hear the prayers of others in prayer service, things like that. So know that we're going slowly because the mistakes that we could make are fairly expensive, and we don't want to make expensive mistakes. So we're going slowly. We're trying to stepwise improve acoustics. The aesthetics committee will be working on increasing Christians. This is a wonderful, clean line sanctuary. We don't want to muddy it up too much, but we are going to try to work on increasing Christian symbolism in the sanctuary. Our first priority right now is the acoustics, just because I don't want people to leave because they can't hear themselves. Thank you. But we will see, though we don't have any other chancel furniture, you may see some changes slowly over the coming months with things, with various worship items. That's the main points that I had. Any questions on those things? Oh, I'm so glad you said that. So there's two speakers ordered. They're wireless. And starting next week, there is also an assisted listening. We have assisted listening device. So people that have challenges hearing on the sermon or people that are hard of hearing, there will actually be a basket in the narthex on one of the small tables with a single-ear assisted listening device with a self-controlled volume control. And they may not have a sign for it next week, but I'll make sure they're out next week. That same assisted listening device, we were purchasing two wireless speakers. Those are ordered. They haven't come in yet. They just weren't ordered as fast as we made the request for order. They just haven't. They weren't ordered. Now they're confirmed ordered. So there's a plan to put one of the wireless speakers in the narthex and one in the nursery. And those will be self-adjusting. They'll be mobile. So if we change where we need them or move the nursery, we can move them around the building as needed. It's also, this is a very, very challenging building to wire. So running speaker wire, which is usually a fairly straightforward thing, in this building is not. So wireless speakers, it was really great news that this assisted listening device that we had already purchased makes wireless speakers. So there will be one in the narthex, one in the nursery, and those can move around as need. But do, if you see people that, or you invite people that may have a problem hearing, especially in a group environment with noise, encourage them, let them know that the assisted listening, in a tactful way, that's available. I mean, y'all know Sarah's grandfather was here. We had no idea he wasn't hearing about half of the sermon. And finally, we asked, and it really helped that he had one of those. So, and then he started arguing with Rich Moore.
Yeah, that is a good reminder about the assisted listening devices. As far as our reverb issues go, I knew of a pastor who they've had a building they moved into that was probably about like ours when we first moved into this. I mean, we have, I think, dealt some with the problem, but they had a huge reverb issue. And he said, you know, it's great. If you miss the sermon on Sunday, you can just come back and catch it midweek because it's still bouncing around. So I think we probably had the same thing some. One thing about this church that is really, really important, you know, when Luke in his gospel sort of summarizes the ministry of Jesus, it says that he was mighty in word and in deed. And that's always the pattern of the kingdom, word and deed ministry. How does Jesus live his life? What does he go around doing? He goes around teaching God's truth, delivering God's truth to people. And he also goes around doing good deeds, healing people, feeding people, ministering to people with needs. And that is the pattern for the church's ministry, and that's a pattern that we hope to imitate and embody. In our tradition, sort of the Presbyterian, Reformed, Protestant tradition, the word thing is usually emphasized. A lot of times the deed aspect is underemphasized, and so you end up with churches that are sort of out of proportion. You know, if you were to sort of draw a symbolic stick figure of Presbyterian, it'd have a really big head, probably, and a really small body, and maybe even no hands at all, or feet. You know, it's other traditions that have gone and done the mercy ministry or gone out and done a lot of the evangelism kind of work. And that's an imbalance that needs to be corrected, obviously. All churches need to strive for that kind of balance between word and deed, between evangelism and discipleship. And that's part of what we're trying to do. And so we've sort of done this mercy ministry thing in fits and starts, kind of, you know, getting into something and then maybe it losing some momentum and that kind of thing. The most important mercy ministry, of course, is what's done organically in relationships that we develop and opportunities that brings to us. It's not just a matter of having church programs. But we do want to make opportunities available to our people, to you all, to be involved in different kinds of mercy works in the city, partly because it's even just doing those really simple things. If you remember, quite some time ago when Bobby Nix did his Sunday school class, Bobby talked about how he got started, really got a heart for mercy work. It was really just you went and delivered a turkey, like, what, for Thanksgiving or something. That kind of opened the door, and then Bobby realized all the things were wrong with delivering turkeys at Thanksgiving, but realized, too, that something had to be done. Not that that's altogether wrong, but, I mean, just that there were problems with that philosophy of ministry. It needed to be more than that. And that's really what we want to emphasize as a church is mercy ministry that really builds relationships with people, communicates the love of Christ to them in tangible ways. And very often it's those kind of sort of humanitarian sort of works, dealing with people's very sharply felt needs that opens a door for them to receive the spiritual truth of the gospel. And this has just been the pattern throughout the history of the church going back to the early days when the church was a tiny persecuted minority in the Roman Empire. How did they bring about the transformation of culture and civilization? Not just word ministry, but deed ministry too. And that's something we want to emphasize. With the Advent and Christmas season coming up, we've got some opportunities to do this. I'll let Debbie Woods talk about one that's related to Jesse's Place. And Debbie, you can make your other announcements along with this.
Y'all probably have read about Jesse's Place that we've been involved in through the year. And last year we did the Angel Tree program for them at Christmas, and we're going to do that again this year. Jesse's Place is a homeless shelter for women and their children, and they get no federal funds. There's a lot of accountability. A group of us before we got involved went and met with them. The ladies have to work and have Bible studies, and then the goal is to get them, you know, back on their own. And so we have did the Angel Tree last year to help with Christmas gifts, and we also are doing meals. We did four times this past year, and hopefully next year we'll maybe move that up to six times a year, maybe every other month. We've had a lot of families involved. We just take dinner down there to them and serve the women and the children and a lot of the workers there as well. But this Christmas season, we're going to do our Angel Tree again. December 6th, the tree will be out in the narthex, and the Stevenson family has graciously made our little angels, and on each angel is an item that they have requested from Jesse's Place. So you just pick an angel off, and if you'll notice, the items look very similar to the ones from last year. In fact, I think the list is identical. And so I called her because I kind of got the idea it would be more of a Christmas wish list. And she said, well, when the women move out into their apartments, we give them things like vacuum cleaners and dishes and pots and pans. And so that's pretty much the same list we had last year. So if you notice that's why, because they give those things to the women. So December 6th, the tree will be up, and you just pick off an angel, whatever you want to purchase. There's MP3 players, Barbie dolls, and, you know, like last year we had a leaf blower and vacuum cleaners, things like that. So you can, however much you want to spend. And then December 20th would be the due date, if you could just bring the item back and put it in the office, and then that following week we will take it down there to Jesse's Place. So, any questions about that? No, they don't need to be wrapped. It's not like the traditional angel tree where they're giving them to the children. This is more, I think there's things like paper towels and diapers. It's just they get so many offers for help at Christmas that it carries them through the year. So it's really more of a maintenance type thing than a, you know, but we're there to help however they want us to help. So that's kind of, you know, I had to give up my little dream of what I thought it would look like. So, you know, I wanted presents under the tree and, you know, walking in like Santa Claus and all that. But yeah, it's all vapor. It's all vapor. And along the line of the aesthetics and Christmas, I don't know if you noticed in the bulletin, we're doing memorial poinsettias. So if you would like to donate a poinsettia for the Christmas celebration, they will be around the steps up here. So the information's in the bulletin. You can let me know about that as well. And also, Dolly is working on pretty candles for the windows, and Kathleen with the greenery. So we're going to kind of start slow and move, you know, as we have more in the budget for decorating for Christmas. But that's the plans right now. So any questions?
All right, thank you. And those poinsettias, if they're given as a memorial in honor of someone, say someone who has passed away, we'll have that printed in the bulletin. You can also just give them if you would like to give one or more for the beautification of the sanctuary. Let me let Bobby Nix talk real briefly about what's going on with the Right Stuff Thrift Store.
A lot of y'all are out, and some of you haven't. I'd invite all of you to come. The church here has been very supportive. I remember as I was contemplating diving off in and attempting it, I took Gilbert Douglas out there because I thought, well, Gilbert, of all people, he could just give me some good grassroots, solid, wise counsel. And we were looking at an empty building that needed paint and everything else in an abandoned shopping center. And I was thinking, you know, surely Gilbert's going to say, you know, Bobby, you really ought not do this. And after we walked around, I said, what do you think? He said, I think you ought to do it. I was like, oh, gosh. So I really didn't expect you to do that, Gilbert. It was an absurd notion from the very beginning because I consulted the leading thrift store guru in the United States, a guy named Dr. Ed Gray out of Fort Walton Beach, Florida. And he said, well, you can do it, and there are great things to do. And he said, I've only seen one fail out of the 100 that I've helped start, but you need about $250,000 to capitalize it to do it. And I said, well, what if you don't have any money? He said, well, I don't really see how you can do it. So I was pretty discouraged by that, but I just felt the whisper of God staying in my ear about doing it. And I was inspired, sort of the straw that broke the camel's back. I was watching the Food Network, and they were sharing the story of how Frito-Lay got started, and it was started by a guy who sold potatoes off the back of his pickup truck. And I thought, well, you know, I can do that. I can just start it. Which, you know, that was 3 or 4 months ago, and when I look back now, it was an absurd notion. But I stand here reporting to you today that it's been a miracle. It's been one of those experiences in my life where I've seen God's hand, blessings are given, pressed down and shaken together. It's been unbelievable. We have 15,000 square feet that's packed. We have a tractor trailer that was donated to us that's packed full of stuff. And it's not just, we've had to throw away probably less than 5% of the stuff that we've gotten in. Most thrift stores throw away between 30 and 40%. And the volunteer support has been amazing. We've had, on average, somewhere between 8 and 16 people a day donating 30 to 60 hours a week of their time. Now think about that. If I was paying minimum wage, my payroll would be, I mean, tens of thousands of dollars a month. And it's been local people that I didn't even know. The chairman of my board told me early on, he said, Bobby, this thing's got a chance to make it if you'll just stay out of God's way. And every now and then he emails me and says, are you staying out of God's way? And that's really what I've tried to do. So today's sermon was very apt for me, Rich, to hear that. Yesterday morning, a lady came in and she sat down at our little coffee corner. We have a Red Diamond Coffee and Tea is partnering with us, and we're donating a big space, a big part of the chunk of the store to really minister to people, because before it opened up, I didn't have the money to turn the power on, and I did have, because they wanted a like $3,000-something deposit to turn the power on, but I was able to turn the water on because the deposit there was only $75, so I thought, well, I'll just get started with what I can. So I got the power turned on, and because I couldn't see to be in the store, I was pressure washing the sidewalk. And there are benches out front that are in little column enclave type things. And as I was pressure washing them, the smell of urine was flooding back into my face, and I realized that people had been living on those benches because I found a sleeping bag and some other evidence. And at that point, I felt like that. The Holy Spirit just used that experience to tell me, you know what, this store is going to be more than just a store that helps ministries. It's going to be a ministry in and of itself. So open it up. Invite people in. And God gave me the vision to start to make the coffee cafe part of the vision of the store. Well, two older elderly ladies walked in yesterday and sat down. And they came up to me after, and they had a cup of coffee and enjoyed themselves over there. And they came up to me afterwards and they said, this place is mesmerizing. Now, I'm sure that's overstating it, you know, how it is a thrift store. It's not Saks or, you know, whatever. But she said, this place is just mesmerizing to me. She said, we just can't believe that something like this is in Leeds. So that's just God's blessing. It's His hand. He's breathing on it. Thank y'all for the support that y'all have given. There are many opportunities to be involved in giving of things, or if you want to come out and help, working with the guys in the drug rehab ministry, whatever. I'm just grateful for all the help y'all have given, and I'm wide open for any help y'all want to give in the future.
Thanks, Bobby. And just as a reminder, the Right Stuff, the profits from that go to the Right Stuff Ministries, like the Restoration Academy in Fairfield. And Harvest in Opelika, if you remember when Rick Hagans came down and spoke, it goes to that ministry as well. So this, when you donate to the thrift store, what flows through there flows back out in another Christian ministry. So it's a way to help on a number of levels. Now let me hand this over to John Bryant. We've got a new ministry opportunity that has come up with John. Something John used to do in town here that he's starting again, a ministry to the disabled. And so, John, I'm just going to let you talk about it for a few minutes.
It's absolutely wonderful to have the opportunity to talk to you about this, because it's one thing that's very, very dear to my heart, has been for years and years. When I was a younger man, I lived in Southern California. I lived a good life. I'm not complaining at all. I had an ocean view in my house up on the hill. And if somebody had told me then that I would ever be in Birmingham, Alabama, trying to create social opportunities for people that were disabled, I would have said, yeah, that sounds very interesting, but I see I'm late for my trip back to Earth, so we're going to have to call this off. Then, while I was on the way to work, I got hit by a car, knocked over a cliff. I came to a month later, and I assessed what I had left. I could barely see. I could barely hear. I could not speak one word. I uncontrollably convulsed. I couldn't stop shaking the half of my body that wasn't completely paralyzed. The right side of my body, I couldn't even sweat. And I did learn two things out of that. I learned that I can take a licking and keep on ticking. I also learned that I can do the mashed potato or the frug with absolutely no experience whatsoever. It just comes natural. So anyway, after 6 months, they released me from the hospital. I went home, and we'll have to skip past that because it really gets much too personal. But I ended up in Alabama, and I didn't know anybody. I didn't know a soul. And here I am, totally disabled. My body had calmed down by then, and I had started speaking again. Not always so beautifully like now, but I had started speaking again. And I said, well, gee whiz, there's nowhere to go. There's nothing to do. What am I left to? Just total isolation? And so I started looking around to see what there was for disabled people to do. Because, you know, we're all, like it or not, we're all social human beings. That's what being human is all about. In fact, it's so important to communicate that if you can't talk, they teach you sign language so that you can talk and communicate. And so I'm saying, gee, this is in occupational therapy. They teach you to cook. They teach you to write. They teach you to be socially acceptable. They teach you to eat with silverware. And then you get out of therapy to what? To nothing. Absolutely nothing. Nobody to eat utensils in front of. Nobody to comb your hair or dress up right for. You're just totally by yourself. Isolated. And so that just didn't seem right. It just would not happen. So I started something I call Club Bravo. And the reason it was called Bravo is because the lady said, when I was explaining what I wanted to do, she said, "Bravo." I said, "Hey, sounds good to me." So that's why it's called Club Bravo. And that went on for years and years and years. But see, the tiny settlement I got, which is a totally other story I won't bore you with, the little settlement I got, I spent every penny on Bravo. When the money ran out, I had to close up. Started out with 2 people, ended up with about 300 people. Can't do that every month, especially since at the time, we won't talk about my cooking now, but then it's really bad. And so I had all my food catered. I had things at the Botanical Gardens, the Lodge in Vestavia Hills, really nice places for 2 reasons. I felt that they should, for once in their life, have something not tolerable or so-so, but how about having something nice once in a while? Everybody can use that. So I wanted to have something nice. Plus, because there were municipal buildings, both of them, half the time I got free. And that helped. But that all came to nothing after a while. And so then I met Ferris Paxson. Most of you probably know him. He's an intern here at the church. He was going to the store, and I just happened to be standing out. He was sitting outside. He used the word standing liberally. I happened to be sitting outside and saw him. And we got to talking. He invited me to church. And Trinity Presbyterian was very welcoming of the idea of beginning Club Bravo again. And so that's what we've decided to do. And that's what we are doing Friday night. And every single person here is invited to it. It's from 6 p.m. until 9 p.m. Friday night. And by the way, volunteers would be gratefully accepted. And that's it. Thank you very much.
Yeah, getting to know John has been, John has just been such a great example of the hope that the grace of Christ gives us, no matter what happens in our lives. And it's been a great encouragement and inspiration. Like John mentioned, we do have this coming up next Friday night. Well, it's November 20th. We're going to do basically a social event, a meal, where the physically disabled and their caretakers have been invited. We don't really, when John did Club Bravo before, it started small and grew. We have no idea, what it's going to look like on that Friday night. But we should by the time it gets close, because they're supposed to RSVP. But we're working towards that. But we do have an opportunity for volunteers, and some of you have already signed up, and we've got your name, and we're holding you to it. We've also got this sign-up sheet here. So what I'm going to do is just leave this on a chair. Or what's a good place to put this, Jed? What should we do with this? Just start passing around the room. If you'd like to sign up to help, feel free to. Once we kind of have the volunteers, we can try to get organized just who's going to do what. But we're looking at having people to greet, having people to set up the room, be sort of greeters, help with the serving of the meal itself, and then clean up afterwards. So it's like 6 to 9 that Friday night, John. Is that right? And we're trying to get the people to help with decorations. We're going to try to get the kids in here to sing a little bit that night. And we got some other things going on that night, too. But anyway, if you'd like to help with that, you can sign up there. This is a ministry that God's dropped in our laps, and we'd really like to see him do great things through it. So that's Club Bravo. Let me make a couple other announcements here. We will probably have another congregational meeting sometime in January to talk about some things that we're not getting to here this morning. One thing we need to do is talk more about our home fellowship groups and how those are going to work. Those kind of, with the move to the building and a lot of other things that are going on, those have kind of fallen by the wayside a little bit. But with the start of 2010, we're going to kind of try to build those back up again. We've got a central group and a south group, and we're going to try to get those going full-fledged again. Also, in that meeting, we'll probably be able to show you a new budget in January. We'll get a report from the treasurer. We won't do that this morning, but we'll do that then and kind of bring you up to date on where we are financially. There'll be some other things to talk about then, too. Let me just kind of close this out with making a couple other announcements of things for you to be aware of. Of course, we've got Wednesday evening prayer every Wednesday, and that's been a well-attended event. I think those who have come have been blessed by it and encouraged by the prayer time. I encourage you, if you can, on Wednesday nights, get over here. Come and join us Wednesday nights at 6 for prayer. Also, coming up for the Christmas season, we have the Woods Christmas Party on the evening of December 12th. Is that a Saturday night? It's a Saturday night. Some more details about that to come. December 21st, I think that's a Monday night. That is going to be our annual Lessons and Carols service. So please make arrangements to come for that. Really looking forward to that here in the new building. And then also one other announcement I wanted to make. Greg Laughlin's not here today. Greg was going to talk a little bit about Treaders. So you may have heard about this. excuse me, I need to just grab my water. There is a magazine, sort of an ecumenical Christian journal called Touchstone that several of us read. There's like, I think, 50 subscribers in the state of Alabama, and maybe a third of them are in our church, something like that. But anyway, really encouraging, I know. But it's really good, and they have a lot of good people write for them, a lot of names that you might recognize, and it does a lot of the kind of stuff that we're interested in, unity of Christians, you know, sort of seeing ourselves in the stream of the great tradition, you know, sort of Nicene Orthodoxy. The Nicene Creed is sort of the touchstone of Christian Orthodoxy, that kind of thing. And there's a lot of really good articles in the magazine. So once a month, we get together to discuss, and Greg Laughlin leads that. But we've got, for the November meeting, we've got actually one of the writers and former editor of Touchstone is coming to town. He's coming to town, I think, as part of promoting his new book that he's written. But for the Touchstone meeting on the evening of November 24th, and I know that's Thanksgiving week, but if you're looking for something to do that Tuesday night, this would be really good. He's doing a seminar on children's literature, Bad Books for Kids, A Guide to the World of Youth Literature and What You Can Do About It. It should be really interesting. I've read some of Mill's stuff before, and it is really interesting. So take note of that. Even if you can't make that, if Touchstone's something you're interested in, talk to Greg or me or one of our other, you know, few but proud subscribers around here, and we'll be happy to talk to you about it. Okay. Anything else? Have I overlooked anything? Gilbert. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. If you're looking for a place for Thanksgiving, come talk to me. Or grab one of our officers. We would love to put you in a home for Thanksgiving if you're looking for a place to go. That's, you know, we got people who are here who don't have family close by and maybe can't travel. That's the situation we find ourselves in. So if that's your situation or you're just looking for a place to go, look, by all means, let us know. We don't want anybody to be overlooked for Thanksgiving. So please do let us know. Anything else? Okay, what I'm going to do is I will pray for us. This will also count as the prayer for our meal. We'll get things set up. We'll transform our very reverberant sanctuary into a very reverberant fellowship hall. And everything with the meal is going to be set up. And so we just kind of stream back that way and grab our plate, come up here and eat together. Let me pray for us. Father, we do thank you for blessing us as a church body in so many ways. We thank you for blessing us with each other. Most of all, we thank you for blessing us with your Son and the forgiveness of sins and the new life that you give to us in your Spirit. We thank you for hope. We thank you for peace and joy and all the other fruits that your Spirit bears in our lives. Father, we pray that we would be a fruitful and faithful church body. We thank you for this meeting we've had here today and the good things that you're doing among us, and pray that you would increase that, increase your work among us.
that we can more and more play our part as a church here in the city of Birmingham. Father, we thank you for the meal we're about to share, that we would eat, drink, and be merry to your glory. This we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.